Good evening. I'm very thankful and honored to be able to speak here tonight. For those of you who may not know, Jessica and I are planning to move to Memphis in June. We're all starting at the Memphis School of Preaching, Lord willing. So we're looking excited for that. And I'm thankful for this opportunity as I get more prepared to make that trip. I'm a little more nervous here tonight than I am usually. I've preached at a few congregations and a few times, but this is only the second time I've preached in front of my dad. And for those of you who may not know, he was an instructor in the Air Force for a long time. So sometimes it's hard for me not to picture him sitting over there with a rubric, kind of grading me as I go along. But on the flip side of that, if you have any comments or concerns or suggestions, just throw them his way because he taught me everything I know, so it's his fault. Tonight, we'll be looking at Acts chapter 9. Our text will be verses 10 through 18. Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 18. There are many characters in the Bible that when we hear their name, we immediately think of their stories and know what they did, whether it be following God or not following God, good or bad. But when we hear names such as Abraham or Joseph or Noah from the Old Testament, we immediately think of the good things that they did and how they worked for God and did what he told them to do. And in the New Testament, we think of John the Baptist or Peter and Paul or Timothy or any of the other names that we can mention. And these are all very important people to know, and their stories are important to know to see an example of someone who had the faith to do what the Lord told them to do and to bring others to him. And while they are very important to know, sometimes there are those mentioned in the Bible we might not talk about as much, but did just as many important things or had the same kind of faith. And tonight we'll be looking at one of those people in Ananias. We probably all know the name and know that he is the one who converted Saul, but there is a lot that we can learn just from these verses where he's mentioned about his life. And there's an example that we can take from him of how to be better Christians. Acts chapter 9, 10 through 18, we'll read that. And it says, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man's named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hand on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized." These few verses, other than in Acts chapter 22, when Paul is recounting this story, is all we really know about Ananias, but there is a lot of information that we can take from that. And the first thing that we'll notice about Ananias tonight is that the lifestyle that he chose to live. We saw there in verse 10 that it said a disciple named Ananias, and later in Acts 22, verse 12, Paul tells us that Ananias was a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. This means that Ananias was living in such a way that he was known as a disciple to not only God, but to all of those around him. And he had favor with all of those around him. And as Christians, we are called to be the same way. Everybody should know that we are a Christian. Everybody should know that we are a disciple. And we should all be living what Paul wrote in Romans 1:16 of not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but letting everyone know who we are and what we stand for. We read in Proverbs 22, verse 1, that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The world's going to attack us for being Christians, but that should be the only attack that they have against us. They shouldn't be able to attack our character. They shouldn't be able to look at us and say, well, that person says they're a Christian, but they live worse than I do. Ananias was a known disciple, and even though he wasn't talked about very much, it's still significant that he was listed as a disciple in the Bible. If there was a book being written today, but could that same word be written by our name? Whether it was just for a few verses or great stories as we see with others, but what words would be beside our name? Would we be able to be called a disciple and a devout follower and in good favor with all of those around us? Because as Christians, that is the life that we are supposed to be living. And not only was Ananias living in such a way that everyone around him knew that he was a disciple and devout, but he was living in such a way that when God came to him, he was ready and willing to do the work of the Lord. We saw in verse 10 that when the Lord appeared to him, Ananias' response was, "Behold, I am here, Lord." This is a very similar response to people that we see in the Old Testament that we hold in very high regard, such as Samuel when he said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth," or Isaiah when he said, "Here am I, send me." And we read in Hebrews the account of Abraham from Genesis that when the Lord told him to go out into a place, he obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Ananias had the same thing in common with all of these men, that when the Lord called them, they were ready and willing to do what the Lord had told them to do. This is a lifestyle decision that we have to make every day. It's not something that we can just wake up one day and say, well, I'll be a good Christian today, or well, I'll look for an opportunity today. And it's not something that we can flip-flop back and forth. It is a lifestyle that we must choose to live every day. We know the Lord's not going to come to us and speak to us directly as he did these men, but we know that God has revealed to us his word, and through that he speaks to us, and we know what we are supposed to do as Christians if we know the word. We must be ready to preach the gospel, as Paul said in Timothy, to preach the word and be instant or ready in season and out of season. We must be ready to give an answer to any man. 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. And we must be ready to do good unto all men. Galatians 6:10, Paul said, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We only see Ananias covered for a short few verses there, but we can see through the story, and we'll talk about more as we go along, that he did all of these things. And as Christians, we should always be ready and willing to do what the Lord has asked us to do through his word. Not only did Ananias live the way that a Christian should, and was he known for being a disciple and devout, but we can also learn from the amount of faith and the type of faith that he had. When the Lord told him to go to Saul, Ananias had the initial reaction that most of us probably would, because he knew who Saul was and what Saul had been doing. He had been persecuting and killing Christians, and he was on his way to Damascus to persecute some more and bring them back to Jerusalem. So Ananias had the initial response of maybe being a little afraid for his life, as most of us probably would. But when the Lord told Ananias to go thy way in verse 15, we see in verse 17 that Ananias went his way. As Christians, we face many of those decisions today, even though it might not be facing someone who we believe wants to kill us. But the way before us isn't always easy. But Ananias had the faith to still go forth and do what the Lord wanted him to do regardless. Ananias also understood that even though it may seem confusing to us at the time, he understood Isaiah 55 verses 8 through 11, where God said that his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. For his heavens are higher than the earth, his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. In verse 11, he says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. The Lord always has a purpose, and it's a purpose that is way higher than what we can probably understand and will understand. And Ananias understood that enough to know that when the Lord told him to go, he went. Ananias' faith also allowed him to do more than just check the box and do what the Lord told him to do, but he fully accepted his will. This is kind of a stark contrast to what we read about in Jonah in the Old Testament, when the Lord told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and Jonah tried to flee from the presence of the Lord. And then we know he was in the belly of a fish for 3 days, and when he escaped, he eventually did go to Nineveh, and he preached to them. And Nineveh repented. And after Nineveh repented and God said that he wasn't going to destroy Nineveh, Jonah was angry at the Lord. He did not have the faith and was not willing to accept that the Lord had a purpose in saving Nineveh and not destroying it as Jonah wanted him to. Ananias could have easily had the same reaction when it came to Saul. Saul had been killing many Christians, and Ananias probably had some idea that Saul was on his way to Damascus, and with Ananias being listed as a disciple and devout, might have been captured and killed himself. But Ananias had the faith that when God told him to go, he went. And then when he got to Saul, he didn't hold anything against him. He didn't hold any grudges. And he willingly accepted that the Lord had chosen Saul to be a vessel unto him, as we read in the text. That kind of faith is more than simply just believing that there is a God or trying to check a box and say, well, I came to church services on Sunday and I prayed before bed, so I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But Ananias had the faith that allowed him to accept what the Lord wanted him to do, whether he fully understood the reasoning behind it at the time or not. Much is true of how we are supposed to be as Christians today, because Jesus told us if we love him to keep his commandments. And yes, we must keep his commandments, and it is important. But Paul also told us that in 1 Corinthians 13:2, that if we have faith so as to move mountains but have not love, we are nothing. Simply checking a box because it is a box to check is not what being a Christian means. Sometimes we can get caught up in doing what we're told and checking those boxes and forget that everything still must be done with love. We saw that with the example of Jonah. We saw it in the first century with the Jews who wanted to accept Jesus until they found out that he, in fact, was not going to be bringing a physical kingdom to this earth to free them from Rome, and so they no longer wanted to be a part of it. We have many examples of people who do something right or might say the right thing, but for the wrong reason behind it. Ananias is someone who not only had the faith in God, but the faith that God's will was above his own, and that Ananias doing the will of the Lord was more important than anything that Ananias could come up with himself. It was the love that he had for God through his faith that allowed him to go to Saul unafraid and convert him. And that is the attitude that we should all have as Christians today. The final thing we'll look at tonight about Ananias is that because he lived the way that he should live and had the faith that we should all have, he was able to see the value of the soul before him. In both Acts chapter 9 and verse 22, we read that Ananias greeted Saul by calling him brother. Ananias immediately told Saul that he was sent by God, restored his sight, and then baptized him. He did not appear to Saul and say, well, look how the turntables have turned on you. You were killing us, and now we have you, and the Lord blinded you. He didn't say, I know who you were before, and so you're probably going to be that same person again. But without delay, he told Saul the things that he needed to tell him and did the Lord's will. He saw the value of the soul that Saul was and that God had chosen Saul, and that trumped anything else that Ananias might have thought. We often hear the saying, or maybe say, love the sinner but hate the sin. And that is something easier said than done. But think of this case in Ananias, knowing who Saul was, knowing he was killing Christians, and knowing that more than likely he was on his way to take you back to Jerusalem to be beaten or killed. And Ananias being able to look past that and seeing the soul that was there and willing to save that soul. He also could have used a number of excuses that we might use today and often hear today, that someone with the background of Saul would never be converted or let alone remain faithful, so why should I waste my time with that? He also could have looked at Saul and said, he's pretty high up in the Jewish faith and just met with the chief priest, so he's too entrenched in his beliefs, and he'll never listen to me. But Ananias understood the value of the soul. He understood that through the power of God, anybody can be saved, and he was willing to convert Saul. And even understanding that Saul was chosen to Ananias, Ananias probably never understood fully. We don't know, but it might be hard to imagine that Ananias fully knew what Saul, who then would become Paul, would go on to do. Paul wrote almost half of our New Testament, and if he wrote Hebrews, he wrote more than half of the New Testament and converted countless number of people to be Christians. He took the gospel to the Gentile world, and through the inspired words that he wrote, still convert people through this day, through the inspiration that he had from God. Ananias saw the value of one soul, which allowed thousands upon thousands and countless numbers of others to be saved because of the value of that one soul. As Christians, we must make sure that we follow this example of Ananias because we never know who we might convert. Paul called himself the chief of sinners, and yet he was converted to be a Christian. But so many times we might use the excuse of who a person is or what their past is or what they're currently caught up in, and we forget to see the value of the soul and the value of what converting just that one soul might lead to. Because how great would it be to get to heaven and to meet someone there who you might have taught a long time ago, and you might not have never knew if they responded or not, but maybe somewhere down the line they decided to study for themselves, or someone else taught them and they learned the truth and obeyed it. And in heaven, they were able to introduce us to people that they brought with them, all because of the word that we sowed in their hearts so many years ago. We can never underestimate the value of one soul, as Ananias did with Saul. And finally, Ananias understood the value of the soul because he taught with an urgency the need to remove sin. As we talked about just a moment ago, Ananias met Saul and immediately told him the things that God told him, and that Saul was going to be chosen for God. And the next thing we read is that Saul received a sight and was baptized. In Acts 22:16, Paul tells us that Ananias said, And why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Ananias knew what needed to be done and knew the urgency of removing sin from the life of Saul. And he did not make any excuses, and he did not beat around the bush, and he blatantly told Saul that he needed to be baptized. We live in a world today that you're not supposed to offend anybody. You're not supposed to tell someone if you disagree with them, because no one can actually know the truth, and we're all just kind of here finding it out for our own way. But as Christians, we know that that is not true, and that we know we cannot get caught up into that line of thinking. Because Jesus told us in Mark 15:15 to go into all the world and to teach the gospel. Paul says in Galatians 1:10 that if we try to please men, then we should not be servants of God. We must understand the urgency that there is when there is sin present in someone's life and their soul is in danger of being lost, just as Ananias did with Saul. It might not be popular, and we might get ridiculed and beaten down by the world, but it is our job and responsibility as Christians to take the word to others. As we talked about this morning, we saw in Ephesians 4:15, it must always be done in love, but it must still always be done. We can name any number of excuses that we want to and come up with any reason not to do it or assume that somebody else is going to do it so that we don't have to. But if we miss the point of evangelizing and teaching others, we've missed part of the point of being a Christian. We see this example many times throughout the book of Acts. In chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Peter told them, "The same Jesus which you crucified." He didn't shy away from the truth, and he let them all know that they had sin that needed to be taken care of. And when they asked what they needed to do, he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." There was no trying to shield away from what needed to be done. There was no trying to hide the truth. Peter told them what needed to be done, and about 3,000 souls were saved on that day. 3,000 sounds like a lot, but out of the amount of people at Pentecost, it still wasn't a majority of people. But no one went away without knowing that they had sin that needed to be taken care of, and no one walked away without knowing what they must do to be saved. In chapter 16, when Paul and Silas are in prison, and an earthquake came and knocked down the prison, and the prisoners were freed from their cells and from their bonds, and the jailer was about to kill himself, Paul cried out to him and said, "We are all here." And the jailer fell down before them and asked what he must be do to be saved. And Paul told him that if he believed on the Lord, he would be saved. And it said, Paul began preaching to him the word of the Lord. And within the hour, the jailer and all of his family were baptized. It can be difficult to say things or to teach things that we know people don't want to hear, or we know they might disagree with or might not be receptive to. But it is our job as Christians to still teach it. People might not always have the response of the jailer that was immediately baptized, and we might not see people immediately be baptized such as Saul, but it should not be from our lack of giving them the knowledge of what they must do. Ananias saw the value of the soul and saw the urgency of the situation of sin being in Saul's life that needed to be taken care of. And so tonight, there was a lot we can learn from Ananias just in the few verses that we read about in Acts. We see the way that a Christian should live, being known as a disciple and devout and in good favor to those around us, and to always be ready and willing to do what the Lord wants us to do when the opportunity arises, to have the faith to know that God knows what he's doing and he means what he says, and that we should do it and accept the outcome and not have our own will be done. And we can learn from Ananias to see the value of the soul, to teach others and to teach them with urgency so that they know that sin is a problem that must be taken care of. Because sin is a problem for all of us. As we read in Romans 3:23, we know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 tells us that sin separates us from God. And Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of all of those sins is death. But thankfully, verse 23 goes on to say, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior." But that only matters if we understand the value of a soul. Jesus asked, "What does it profit if a man shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Because there is nothing in this world that is as valuable as our soul. We read in Romans 5, chapter 8, that while we were still sinners and enemies of God, Christ died for us. And in 2 Peter 3, 9, we read that God is patient and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We are grateful and thankful that God has given us an avenue for forgiveness. But that still leads us to the question asked by the jailer in Acts chapter 16 and those on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, what must I do to be saved? And thankfully, we have the word of God who has given us the answer to that question. Jesus told us that we must believe that he is who he says he is, or we will die in our sins, in John chapter 8, verse 24. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, to answer that question of what must I do to be saved, Peter told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you. Jesus told us that we must confess him before men, and Matthew 10, 32 and 33 said, "If we confess him before men, he will confess us before the Father. But if we do not confess him before men, he will deny us before the Father." And we must be baptized as Ananias asked Saul, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins." The world doesn't want to hear that simple truth that we gain from the Bible, and they want to pick apart different pieces and tell you only have to follow certain parts of them. But that's what the Bible says that we must do. And after we do that, we can begin living the life we talked about tonight that Ananias lived, of being a devout disciple and follower of Jesus, ready to do the work of the Lord, having faith that his will is higher than ours and should be done in all things, and seeing the value of other souls and bringing them to be saved with us. Because we know that Revelation 2:10 also tells us that we must be faithful unto death to receive the crown of life. Ananias wasn't talked about a lot in the Bible, but there's a lot that we can learn from him, including how to be saved, as we just talked about. If you have that need, or if you need to come back and recommit to being faithful to God, please come while we stand and while we sing.